hills.
Good
Wait,
places,
wouldn't that make everybody stay out there?
Good places to fight back.
Hmm. Well, what are you saying, that we're illiterate or that you can't read? Or what are you saying?
I'm just saying I'm sure there'll be a lot of interested listeners who would be more than happy to buy it as a Sunday supplement of one of our tabloids. New York Newsday might put it back by the financial section or the obituary page.
Yeah, they'd put it after the sports pages.
This has been fascinating.
It's 9 o'clock.
Here we wait.
From ABC News, I'm Joe Temple, and there's no sign that fighting is easing in Yugoslavia. And today the European... because it's too dangerous to stay there any longer.
Joy Behar!
Good morning, everybody, on this extremely hideous, hideous weather day. Well, yesterday was worse, though, wasn't it? Don't you think, Bruce? Gotcha.
Yesterday was worse, I believe.
Wasn't it worse?
I think so, but I haven't been out much this morning, so I don't really know.
You don't get out a lot, do you?
Well, I was out. I took the dog out at 2:30, and
you
I haven't been out since.
In the morning?
In the morning.
What dog goes out at 2:30 in the morning?
Mine does.
And then when does he go out again?
Around noon.
So he's on your schedule.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, thank you for
You're very welcome.
Sitting back and having this weather conversation with me. however, I do have a lady here who wrote a book with quotations that are so infuriating and aggravating that you don't know whether you want to read the book or smack the book.
Throw it at somebody.
Tama Starr, The Natural Inferiority of Women, Outrageous Pronouncements by Misguided Males. And when you read this thing, you see why women are having a hard time. Because for centuries, they've been saying bad things about us.
They've been saying the most outrageous and ridiculous things, but now it's time for us to put it outside ourselves and point fingers and laugh. We're up to doing that now.
We are?
I think so. This stuff is so absurd. I mean, the Russian proverb, a woman is not a person as a chicken is not a bird. I mean, where do things like this come from? Or how about the Texas state senator who said, do you know why God created women? Because sheep can't type.
Who said that? What idiot said that?
A fellow named Ambrister said that about 2 years ago.
He was running for something?
He's a state senator from Texas. And he's out there in public saying this.
Voting against Anita Hill.
No doubt, no doubt. But it's so ridiculous that that it's good to get it out there and get it outside of us and just point and laugh.
Well, I mean, up until, you know, very recently, you would hear comedians doing anti-wife material. Take my wife, please, is Henny Youngman's trademark. You know, I mean, there have been mother-in-law jokes and anti-female jokes in all of the male comedians.
Well, mother-in-law jokes go back at least 5,000 years. The oldest quotation that I have in Natural Inferiority is by the Egyptian Ta Hotep, who was a proverb collector, and he had lots of mother-in-law jokes, which I didn't collect because I don't like mother-in-law jokes, but one of his sayings is, a wife will be doubly attached if her chain is pleasant. Now that sounds just...
Huh? What does that mean? Her chain?
If her chain.
Oh, her like chain, a chain around
like
her neck.
Like a chain around her neck. Her
I
leash
see.
Is uh-huh. pleasant. And that's just like what Pierre Cardin, the French fashion designer, said in 1979, marriage is the best prison for a woman. It is a marvelous jail.
Thank
he actually
you.
Said that.
Who is that?
Pierre Cardin, the French fashion designer.
I never liked his clothes anyway. Listen to Al Goldstein. Well, you wouldn't expect anything more from this jerk, the publisher of Screw Magazine, isn't he?
That's right.
If my wife cheated, I'd kill her. She's part of my property. I feel I own her the way I own my car, and I don't lend my car. Thank you, Al. And how about Senator John Young? From what state, do you know?
Colorado.
A man's wife is his property right. 1974, he said that. And here we are, delusional in 1934, thinking that we have, that people are changing their minds about us and saying different things. Richard Burton, I believe that the woman is made for man. Man is made for life. Thank you. I wonder how Elizabeth felt about that. These are horrible. Bob Dylan, nowadays you have the concept of a new woman, but the new woman is nothing without a man. Well, may I quote Florence Florence Kennedy. a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle.
Like a fish without a bicycle.
So,
I love that.
Yeah, so, I mean, she counteracted that. But we don't have as many quotations like that as in the history of men making remarks like this about women.
Well,
right?
That's because the men owned the printing presses, and they owned the churches, and they owned the scientific laboratories, so to speak.
Oh, that's right.
So
if a woman came up with a bon mot, it just went into the air and nowhere else.
Yeah, the way to answer this argument that women are inherently inferior is not straight on, because first of all, you can't fight an elephant head on.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is say that the whole proposition is absurd. The whole notion that part of humanity can be inferior to any other part is a stupid assumption in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't deserve a intelligent answer.
Well, so then I presume that you're a feminist, are you?
I don't like ists and isms, but I'm pro-feminist, and the book is a feminist book.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you like ists and isms?
Because I think a lot of the problems that, that people have got into is putting... It's so convenient to put things in a little box and close the door. And that's the fallacy that the men fell into in saying all these weird things about women.
Well, some men are just chauvinist, you know, and they deserve the ist.
A lot of the men...
And I don't know if there's room for discussion, you know, when you say... When Tolstoy, he's quoted... A lot in this book.
Well,
he sounds very chauvinistic.
Tolstoy, in his diary, he got more and more misogynistic through his life. Also, some really twisted up people, Nietzsche, the Marquis de Sade, they really enjoyed saying horrible things about women. But on the other hand, a lot of men who said these things were just repeating something because it was convenient. Some of them may even have had good relationships with,
mm-hmm.
they all had mothers, a lot of them had daughters they loved,
mm-hmm.
and still they would carry on like nuts when they had the opportunity.
What is amazing is the contemporary men and the stupid things that they have said. Michael Caine, for instance, whom I've always admired him as an actor and never realized what an ass he was until I read this. American girls are like a horses, very independent. They have never been controlled by anybody. But if you can break them in, they are very grateful, as all women are.
Well, Michael Caine is just reflecting a 5,000-year-old tradition of comparing women to horses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Nigerian proverb, a woman is like a horse, whoever can train her is her master.
I know, but you would expect these people to have Maximilian Schell. Women love to be sat on and conquered. They love to be bossed. Who said so? Where did he get this idea?
He's, you know, if a lie, if it's repeated often enough, can become the truth if it's big enough. A little lie gets knocked right out, but
yeah.
A big lie like this.
But here's this. Here's one. This one from Telly Savalas, I think, is frightening, because this is like, I adore women. Says El Baldesso. I am their total slave up to a certain point. I pamper them, cater to them, but when necessary, you have to bop them.
Who loves you, baby?
Not Telly. Not Telly. I think that many women like to be emotionally abused, that they like a man with power, says Larry Hagman, American actor J.R. Ewing, who apparently is not that big a stretch from his role on television.
He was reaching something in himself to do
mm-hmm.
this.
Really? His Tony Curtis. Marriage is very difficult. Very few of us are fortunate enough to marry multimillionaire girls with 39-inch busts who have undergone frontal lobotomies.
I think that one is cute. I also like Barry Goldwater. Somebody said, Senator Goldwater, do you think women should be admitted to the armed forces? And he said, women are hard enough to handle now without giving them a gun. He's got a point. A lot of the men say that the reason you have to keep women down is that if you give us equality, we'll end up dominating them.
Why? Why?
Because smart, we have stamina.
Well, maybe
we
because of all the years of oppression, we might go wild if we were in the position of power. You know what I mean?
Well, of course, the empresses and prime ministers who are women are not particularly softer or more nurturing than the men. I think men and women have more in common than separating us.
It's unbelievable. I'm looking through this. I can't believe the stupid things that people say. Lequalessa. Women are to have fun with. In politics, I prefer not to see a woman. Instead of getting all worked up, they should stay as they are, like flowers. See, that kind of condescending attitude really riles me.
Now, that's the president of Poland, and that is extremely upsetting because you would think with the new national movements, women would take their place. But instead, the church is coming back in and putting the women back.
How much of this oppression has religion played a part?
Ooh, religion is the heart and soul.
It is.
There is no religion that I could find, no mainstream religion,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't insist that, here's the Quran. Men are superior to women on account of the qualities in which God has given them preeminence and because they spend their property for the support of women. That's an economic argument. Confucius, it's the law of nature that women should be held under the dominance of man. Buddha, of course, Buddhism said everyone should loathe and put away the form of woman. And Christianity the most, absolutely the most. They saw women as very, very threatening. So in Natural Inferiority, I've collected all these and made them into a philosophy
mm-hmm.
where ignoring the chronology or geography, just showing how each idea leads to the next. And how it so captivated men's minds, and
well,
maybe women's too.
I like this book because it really shows you who are the worst jerks. And I have opened for some of these in my stand-up act. Bobby Vinton, who I happen to like, he says, brains are never a handicap to a girl if she hides them under a see-through blouse. Bobby, I am shocked. I have to call him up. He actually said maybe he wants to take it back. How about Kurt Vonnegut Jr., who I saw at Elaine's one night, and I've read a lot of his books, and I think he's brilliant. Now I don't like him anymore. Educating a woman is like pouring honey over a fine Swiss watch. It stops working.
Well, that's true. You certainly don't work so hard scrubbing the floor when you've been reading books and thinking.
Yeah, right.
You invent a machine to go
mm-hmm.
scrub the floor.
Yeah, so that he could write the books and eat out at Elaine's every night. And Patrick Buchanan, I would expect nothing less from him. The truth is that women's income, on average, will always be a fraction of men's so long as America remains free.
Free? What does he mean by free?
Well, according to him, it means free. Women are best at the game of being female. They can't devote full attention to a competitive game, says Tim Holland, backgammon champion.
Gary Kasparov said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said women don't have enough aggression to win at games. I don't know about
that. Well, that's a real denial, you know, of the fact that they're really afraid of our aggression, possibly.
I think they're afraid of it because we don't fight fair according to their rules.
Why? What are their rules?
They have abstract rules of
logic
honor.
Yeah,
their kind of logic.
Oh, who
and
cares about logic?
When you're going to go boxing, you should stand in a certain little pose and not use your feet and not poke in the eyes and things like that. Women don't obey those kind of rules. We say, hey, let's go there and win. The man will always give the other man a way out. He'll always give an opportunity to negotiate and save face. The women won't. That's why they want to keep us out of the big ring of life.
I don't really know if I agree with that, but let's talk about it when we come back from this break. I'm talking to Tama Starr. Is that your real name?
Yes, it is.
Starr?
That's right.
A cute name, Tama Starr.
Thank you, Joy Behar.
That's not my real name. Is this your real name?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I was not born with Joy Behar. Were you born with Tama Starr?
I was, but my grandfather wasn't.
What was he born with?
Starr Yaselsky.
Oh, so they just shortened it at the border?
They shortened it at the border.
Okay. All right, so a few people would like to get into this. I don't know exactly how you would do that, but maybe you might want to. How would a person get involved in this conversation, do you think, who's out there listening?
I mean, what would they?
Yeah, what would they say to us?
Want to know?
Or talk about? I'm trying to figure out how to get the audience involved in this because I could just like continue to quote these jerks for like hours and hours and hours here. Let me see. A man is twice happy when he marries a wife and when he buries her. A Greek proverb. If you're calling me from New Jersey, it's 201-489-WABC. From everywhere else, it's 212-563-WABC. Let's see how creative you are. Tama Starr. She wrote a book called The Natural Inferiority of Women, Outrageous Pronouncements by Misguided Males. If you read this book, your blood will boil.
Guaranteed.
I'm telling you. It's a very distressing book. New Woman magazine, is that the magazine that, do you work for them at all?
No.
Because they often have,
they have a great column in the back called Thump on the Head, and and they quote the modern people who come out with these outrageous and jerky remarks.
Right.
So they're a very good source for outing the creeps.
No is no negative in a woman's mouth.
Oh, that section is about how all the women are nymphomaniacs.
Uh-huh.
I have a whole chapter about that. Then later I've got another chapter about how all the women are frigid. Consistency is not the strong point of the argument that women are naturally inferior.
Mm-hmm. Did you send this book to Anita Hill?
I'm not sure she needs it.
My wife is my mule, goes a Montenegrin proverb. These are funny, too, actually. They're very funny, don't you think?
Well, I started out laughing, but then I started getting angrier and angrier because I realized there's something really deep going on here. If the 5,000 years and all around the world, the men are getting away with saying this.
Did you leave anything out of this? Is there anything that you couldn't possibly print?
You mean what was really too disgusting for me to deal with?
Uh-huh.
The ancient tradition in some cultures of female genital mutilation to prevent them from having any sexual pleasure.
Oh, the clitorectomy that they do in Africa, parts of Africa.
They do all across Africa, all the way east to Indonesia, throughout the Muslim world. And that was recommended in this country as recently as the 1930s to prevent nervousness and masturbation in little girls. Finally, the doctors recommended against it because they decided that the clitoris actually plays no part in sexual arousal.
Who said that?
Some doctor that I couldn't bear to. The story was too complicated. And the other thing I found too disgusting and awful to deal with were women who say these things about women.
Yeah,
the
that's
women
always, that depresses me.
That's so depressing. You think about Phyllis Schlafly, who makes a living going around making speeches about how women should stay home in the kitchen.
Maybe she's really a transsexual. Do you ever think of it?
You know, that's really very possible.
She might have gone to Sweden. She's really a man. And she's running around. It's like a very subversive thing to do. But it's not because she wanted to be a woman. It's only because she wanted to attack women. She's really a misogynistic male. Interesting thought, isn't it?
It's an interesting thought, although I never had an indication that those transsexuals disliked women. I thought they really wanted to identify
with them.
That's
what I'm saying.
Although
she didn't do it for that motivation. She only did it because she wants to pretend she's a woman.
That's really deep cover, isn't it?
We have a winner for the Joe Piscopo and Joy Behar Aspen Hotel. Phyllis Berger from Livingston, New Jersey. Great. We'll see you there. Let's take some calls. Then we can get back and quote some more people. Because I don't want to give the whole book away. Because it's quite fabulous, I think. Are the feminists angry with you for putting this book out?
More and more feminists have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And say it's time to start laughing at things. There are so many feminist stand-up comics now, which I don't think 20 years ago there were so many. So people with a sense of humor really like it. There is.
I know that there are women stand-up comics. I'm not sure that they're feminists.
Some
exactly.
are and some aren't. There's a more broad spectrum. I think there are some party liners who believe that there should not be any bad speech, any insulting speech. You know, there's a movement on some of the college campuses to ban insulting language and so on. But I think the antidote to bad speech is good speech.
I agree.
So you should get it right out there so you can see what it is,
right.
Rather than having it be submerged where it can poison people.
Well, you cannot be, you have to believe that when somebody says something evil, you must counteract it with something good rather than squelch the evil.
Rather than censor the
evil.
It
doesn't seem to work to do it that way.
Doesn't work.
They're trying to do that all over this country, I noticed, though.
I really disapprove of any kind of speech censorship. Let the bad stuff right out there and the good will naturally overcome it.
Maybe. But, I mean, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, you're taking a risk.
Occasionally, there's some bad things that take over entire societies. We've certainly seen that in our own century.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really survive and prevail. Because
no, but a lot of people die in the meantime. I'm thinking of Nazi Germany, for example. But that was a question of evil, 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 and squelching anything else. Politically, by
they did the squelching.
Right, right. That's why if you have a free society where both are existing all the time, I think you have a better chance of survival.
If all the ideas can get out there and people have the choice, people are intelligent and they are humane. And even the men who said all these crazy things have mothers and wives and sisters and daughters, and now they have colleagues at work also,
so
and they can't keep... They're not going to keep doing this now that it's
out
in the
open. Was this momentary insanity on the part of these people who, in this book?
In some cases, when you see somebody like Kurt Vonnegut, he was just making a wisecrack.
Uh-huh.
You don't think he goes 24 hours a day saying these things the way some of the men in the book actually did. Some of the early church fathers and the saints, Tertullian, Origen, those men genuinely hated women. And the early Christian church was founded on their beliefs.
Uh-huh.
The early Christian church held many debates and councils over whether women, in fact, had souls or not.
And what was the conclusion?
Grudgingly, yes. like animals do also, grudgingly, yes.
They decided that animals have them also?
Yeah, kind of. They're not quite there, but allow them to work it out, you know.
Sigmund Freud did not help the situation either.
Ooh.
He was nasty about women, wasn't he?
Sigmund Freud said, "You may consider it an instance of male injustice if I assert that envy and jealousy play a greater part in the mental life of women than of men." Freud, apart from the penis envy theory, which is total insanity as far as I'm concerned, he said that women were ethically and morally different, just not up to the same level, and that this was caused by their penis envy.
I see.
Weird, weird.
One of my friends, a comedian, Susie Sorrow, she has a line in her act. She says, "Yes, I have penis envy, but not for yours."
Right now, many investors are concerned, and rightfully so. They're concerned with the low yields available for their investments and the loss of income that they need. They're concerned with safety and the need for it when investing. Those concerns are being met every day.
Here, Tama Starr, the natural inferiority of women, outrageous pronouncements by misguided males. Let's take some calls, though, okay?
Sure.
Let's see what people have to say. Rachel from Brooklyn, you're on WABC.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
I'd like to tell you an experience that happened to me and a saying which I used, which managed to shut the men up very fast.
Great.
I was at the table of the family gathering, mainly boys. Of course, I was the only daughter-in-law there, and they were teasing me and going on and on and on. And then one of the guys said, "And even God created man first." I said, "Oh, yeah? Sure, God created man first. But then one always makes a rough copy before the final draft." did that keep them quiet?
That's
there
a good
you
one.
Go.
That
That's
was good.
Great.
That's one you should keep filed away up there, and when you need it, you use it.
Okay.
It works wonders.
That's good. Thank
Thanks,
you, Rachel.
Rachel.
Bye-bye. All right. Anne from Brooklyn, you're on WABC.
Hi.
Hi.
Joy?
Yes.
I call your program The Forum. I don't want to call it a talk show or a show anymore.
Okay.
Because this is what you give us every morning, all your beautiful guests. I love them. I've learned a lot. And I want to get this lady's book, Miss Starr.
Yes.
You're wonderful to bring this to our attention because it's time that we heard these horrible things. We read them every now and then in newspapers.
Right.
But to have it all in one book is fabulous.
It's
Thank
good
you,
ammunition.
Anne.
How do you think we could use it as ammunition, though, if we have it all in one book?
Well, because you can use it by having it on hand at your desk.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so you start remembering some of them when someone brings up something in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. You mean like if someone says something really dumb, you can say,
"Yeah,
gee, you sound just like Charles Manson."
You know,
what
they have
Manson
this famous
say?
Book, Bartley's quotations that people use
yes.
when they make speeches. Well, we'll have this.
That's a
but
good
let
one.
Let me say this
okay.
other thing. Hello?
Yeah.
The mind is an important thing we don't think of. You know, women have minds. Right?
Yeah, we hope so.
But I mean, men don't respect our minds, but everyone has a mind, and we think, so we have to think about other things besides family and going to, and all of these other things, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Another thing is, Joy, please get the last word on this whole thing is Ashley Montague at Rutgers. You must get him on.
Oh, the natural superiority of women.
He's a champion women lover, and he talks about the superiority of women, really. He's a wonderful man.
That's a very famous book.
He's a
yes.
wonderful man, and he will come on, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll
he's
try and get
Rutgers,
him.
He's right?
I don't know, but...
Yes, he is, I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen him many times on... Donahue had him on one time. Wonderful man.
Thanks for the suggestion.
And what else can I tell you? Oh, my goodness, there was something else.
Do you want to hear what Charles Manson said?
Yes.
Women have no souls. They are super aware slaves whose duties are to whelp. and to serve men.
Well, that's another thing I want to say.
He got those airhead girls.
How do men get here for us? How do men get here? I think that's a deep resentment they have. They can't be born without us.
I think so, too. I think that really there's the origin, the emotional origin of all this, is that they feel uneasy.
Dependent?
No, they feel helpless and uneasy here. We have babies.
They can't get into this beautiful world without us.
So that's true. Okay, thank you, Ann. Thank you very much. No, it's true. They probably are scared of something. Whenever people are hateful, I always feel like they're scared of something.
You remember...
I had a woman call who was a Ku Klux Klan member last week. And she was just... You could feel it. There's fear there behind it.
Oh, sure. Remember the Honeymooners, and there would be Ralph and Alice, and Ralph would be saying... I'm the king, and this is my castle, and he'd be banging on the table.
Yeah.
And because he felt so helpless in the face of the world. And meanwhile, Alice would be saying...
Yeah, you're the king.
Hardy, yeah.
Here, king. Al from Brooklyn.
Yeah, how are you, Joy?
Okay, Al.
Great show.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I just want to have two comments. Here's another old liner when I used to smoke cigars. And they used to say, a woman is a woman, but a cigar is a good smoke.
Yeah.
Which was crazy.
That's Rudyard Kipling. That's Kipling, a poem called The Betrothed.
Yeah. And then another one is, with women, you can't live with them, and you can't live with them or without them. And
That's not a put-down, exactly.
No, it's not a put-down.
I don't know what that is.
It demonstrates the kind of confusion that people have. But that saying goes back to ancient Rome and ancient Greece. That's one of the oldest.
Yeah, but what my whole point is that I think you girls are taking this a little too seriously. This has been going on for time. And I think the people, especially the actors and the ones that are doing this under goodwill, I think they're doing it as a matter of sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Who is?
The guys like Robert De Niro and Sondheim and all of those other people, I think they really love women. And they say that in a way that, if not out of disrespect.
Well, sometimes it's the intention, I think, is very... You have to see what the intention is.
Well, Al's making the point that we should really be fair... Although the men haven't been that fair, so I don't know how fair we should be. I'm really trying to use these actors to show that they're sounding just like guys 3,000 years ago, that things haven't changed that much.
But inwardly, you know men love women.
I do.
And they would not say it if there was no love attached. That's my point.
Yeah. But these kinds of remarks don't help.
Well, I agree that men really do love women, so why do they keep saying these wicked things?
Well...
Yeah, what do you think is the reason, Al?
Why is the reason?
Yeah, why do they keep saying these nasty things?
I think it's a way of communication. It's a way of communicating with one spouse or wife. I think it's done as a matter of just comments.
You mean like teasing and good-natured?
And the girl would say another. You say another. It's back and forth. And I don't think there's too much harm unless you put it in a situation where it relates to something real, which is the unknown factor.
Well, I agree that we should kid around with each other. I like it when men and women are, you know, kidding each other and laughing, and when it's good-natured. Intent has a lot to do with it. If you have a vicious intent, then it's...
Well, who can determine who has a vicious intent unless you're living with that person,
well,
really?
You know between yourself and your companion.
Right.
Well, like this remark by Norman Mailer, who should really... I mean, he's been accused of being very misogynistic. A little bit of rape is good for man's soul, says Norman.
But do you think, realistically, he believes in that?
Yeah, I do, because throughout his books, he has the narrator or the hero say how great it is to conquer and dominate and stab and kick in the head. And he thinks that's really manly.
Well, I mean, you have to look at two sides. And I think if you take it in its proper perspective... then maybe you can get the really fair evaluation.
Okay,
but
Al.
Don't take it too serious at this point.
All right, Al. Thank you. And Elisa from Long Island.
Hello.
Yes.
Joy, I've got three for you.
Go ahead.
One is goes right back to St. Augustine, the Confessions of St. Augustine. In his day, to become a priest, you had to give up women. And
isn't that true now?
Now, what he said in his Confessions was, oh, God, make me good, but not yet.
Give me a few more weeks.
And the second one is when I was in South Africa, my Dutch teacher said that if a man tells you you look like his favorite horse, he's in love with you.
Hey.
And the third one...
Where did that one come from, Elisa?
That came from South Africa.
Came from the
is
Meadowlands.
Is it a saying?
Yes. Now, the third one...
A proverb?
...is about the Pope. When the Pope comes, our deepest desire is that he will step on the earth and kiss the women.
When who comes?
When the Pope comes to America next time.
Yeah.
He will reverse himself, and he will step on the earth and kiss the women.
Who said that?
That's a good one.
Did you make that up?
No, I didn't. I got that from a very fantastic... we went on a retreat three weeks ago, and this was a doctor from California. I don't think I'm permitted to mention his name, but he said that that we should be calling God she, because for 3,000 years we've been calling him he, and we should give the women a chance, and then later on we might do a little bit alternative.
Well, they call it Mother Earth, but they have very little respect for
Mother Nature.
Look what they've done to the earth.
Yes.
Raped the earth.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right, Elisa, thank you.
I was at the brokerage, by the way.
Oh, you were?
Well, I loved it. It was just fantastic.
Thank you. You were a wonderful audience at the brokerage.
Oh,
I really enjoyed myself.
Wasn't it wonderful?
Yes, they were fabulous. Okay, thanks, hon. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
This is Sonny Brock, and I have a coin.
We're talking to Tama Starr. The natural inferiority of women, outrageous pronouncements by misguided males. And let's talk to some of them right now. Jack from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Jack.
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
Why did God create man first?
I don't know. Why?
Because he didn't want any suggestions.
That's a good one. That's funny.
Cute.
That's funny. Claire from Queens. Hi.
Hi, Joy.
How are you, Claire?
Okay. Well,
Claire
is
a poet.
Yes, you know I've written a lot of poetry about this subject.
Yes.
What does that woman want? I was married at 26, and I was a little bit more emancipated than most women that I knew. When I married my husband, he was a Neanderthal type, and he said, okay, I paid $2 for you. You're my property, so I don't want any back talk.
Mm.
And it took me 13 years to find out that he meant it.
Really?
At which time I divorced him.
You should take these comments seriously.
I really didn't think that people, that a man that I would be interested in would really mean that. But he meant it.
Uh-huh.
And so the $2 that he paid for the license meant that I belonged to him, except that I didn't. I went further than he did. I found out that I was smarter than he was. I got a magna cum laude BA and an MA, and he never graduated high school. So it turned out that he really didn't own me. But I wanted to ask Tama, what do you think about the image that Hollywood gives for the women as sex kittens, the Marilyn Monroe type, and what that has done to women in this country?
It's tough if women think that's the only way to be, and if we think, gee, I don't look like Marilyn Monroe, so I can't be real important. We should have lots of images to go for and to inspire us.
But why do you think women have bought into that?
To act in a sexual way?
Yes, to be the sex kit.
Well,
like Marilyn was a very bright girl.
Well, I mean,
I have nothing against sex kittens or.
They have their place, sex kittens.
Yeah,
if that's what you want to do with yourself. It's just that, you know, Marilyn Monroe, I always felt, was very much victimized by her role. Don't you?
Well, she tried to keep herself from being what she really could have been.
Well, she believed it too much, perhaps, because she saw herself getting older. She was only 36 when she died. Meanwhile, she wrote some very lovely poetry, and she was very, very bright and a great comic actress. She was partly surrounded by people who didn't help her cultivate those things. But really, what about her own responsibility for herself?
Well, look, she
was incapable, I think, in a certain way.
She was a little crippled.
I mean, there was a point, from what I've read and seen, where she was very, very much loved by Arthur Miller, for example.
Right.
who was an intelligent man and who took her seriously, I think, and she couldn't handle it.
And she began to take herself seriously when she started studying at the actor's studio.
Yeah,
that's right.
But there's something I wanted to ask you. Don't you think this fear of growing older and the cosmetics industry and all the facelifts and all that, who do women do that for themselves?
Let's just not buy that, and let's just not say that our only validity and virtue is in imitating a magazine cover.
Oh, easier said than done. I walked in this morning, and I look like a cat sat on my head all night. And Lisa Sliwa looks fabulous, and I commented to her, you look so good today. I mean, women are doing it to each other.
Well, Lisa Sliwa is a model, and she's gorgeous. And
she
so
is.
It's a pleasure to look at her.
She is a beauty.
It's a pleasure to look at handsome men, too, but not all the men are handsome, but we still have friends and we like them even if
no,
they're not male fashion models.
I think that the thing with beauty is that it has its place in the society. I mean, people who are extraordinarily beautiful, that's their thing. They look gorgeous. They walk into a room, everybody likes them and looks at them and thinks they're beautiful. But it's valued above other things, and that's the part that bothers me.
Well, you mean prettiness.
Yes.
Like, you know, Coco Chanel said that a woman is born with the face she has at 20, but she earns the face she has at 40. And it's true that
I thought she said she deserves the face.
I don't know, maybe it's the same thing. But what she's saying is that as you get older, your personality comes out more, mm-hmm. and if you are vibrant and humorous and lively, you're going to strike people as beautiful, even if you weren't a very pretty child.
Well, there's one more thought I want to say before I hang up, and that is that in France, older women are treasured and valued, and, I mean, women like Simone Signoret.
Then why did Brigitte Bardot have a breakdown when she hit 40?
She had a problem.
Well, she was a sex kitten. That's why I brought it up.
I say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Okay, sorry, I hung up too quickly. Helen from Brooklyn.
Hi, Joy.
Yes.
I have a saying, you know, I get into conversations with men, and then when they feel that they're losing the argument, they always say, oh, well, you women wouldn't be here if it wasn't for us men, because God took a rib from us to make you. And I say, well, that may be true. I said, but there is no place in the Bible that says that God took part of your brain and gave it to women.
Thank you, Helen.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
Inspired by a true story.
77 WABC.
Okay, let's keep going here. We have Ron from his car phone. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I wanted to say that where there are definitely serious women issues, I think that books like this and such comments in terms of women's issues are on the light side. When we talk about actors and actresses or actors basically making comments, they're meant to be on the light side. And when we talk about them the way we're talking about them today, I think that what ends up happening is you fuel the fire for men to joke about things that maybe you don't like them joking about. You make it stereotypical to say certain things.
This is just a compilation of things that have been said in the past.
Well,
that's all we're doing here is telling you what people have said.
Well, I realize that, and some of them are quite serious, obviously. I mean, some of them are horrible. There's no question about it. But I think just in general, men today are somewhat confused with what they can say in terms of a joking matter.
Yes.
I'm not talking about sexually or anything such as that, but just simple banter back and forth. And it's somewhat confusing. I'm a 38-year-old man, and sometimes I am quite confused. I don't even know how to almost, if you will, train my children, and other than to teach them to be somewhat careful.
About what they say.
Well, yeah, because it is important. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the way I treat my wife is the way they'll probably treat, you know, their wife and women in, you know, in future lives. But all I'm saying is I think it needs to be lightened up a little bit.
Oh, I agree.
Have some fun with it.
It's really a shame that people think that they can't joke around in a good-natured way. Some of these things really are funny.
Yeah.
I think it's genuinely cute that women shouldn't go in the army because they're hard enough to handle without giving them a gun.
See, I think that's funny.
I think that's funny.
Right. And some people really would take offense to that. And that's my point. And that's where we need to be careful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And John from Edison.
Yes.
Hi, John.
How are you?
Okay.
Great. Love your show.
Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, the most hardened person, man, once he has a few daughters, if he has no sons, you'll find them changing drastically.
Mm.
You know, I mean, not that I was a construction worker or that they're the worst, but use the B word a lot. And now I have three daughters.
You don't like it now.
Well, I yeah. wouldn't want them to be called that.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be put in that position.
Yeah.
And I want them, with no pun intended, I want them to be all that they can be.
Yeah.
So I'm...
That's cute.
That's very funny. Okay, John, thanks.
Thank
you. Let's take... Okay, who's this? Mara. Go ahead, Mara. You only have about a minute.
Hello? It's,
yes.
It's Mira.
Mira.
Hi. Joy, I just want to thank you for letting me get on the show. You have a great show, and this is the first time I'm calling.
Thank you.
Joy, I know this is going to sound rather overly serious, but I think that the men have, for thousands of years, suppressed women for one underlying reason. I think that they really believe deep, very deep inside, that women are much more mentally and emotionally stable, and they're fearful of making women their equal, because I think that should women become a man's equal in politics, economy, etc., they would most likely possibly even surpass man. And
You have 10 seconds.
And the reason I say this is if you look at the typically unstable men or the mass murderers are predominantly men, the rapists are predominantly men, sexual child abusers are predominantly men. And
oh, my goodness. On that note, thank you, Tama Starr. It's 10 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Joe Templeton.